Chicken. Okay, let me turn to the right page. Parakeh. Okay. Parakeh, Pasuk, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, I believe. And let's turn to the right page. I looked it over. Sorry. Page 312. Okay. Page 312. So we did read the Pasuk Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. We went through the Radak. And Rashi and the Mitzudos, and we went through the Torah. We went through, and we discussed this thing of everything. We went through with the Malbum. We did the Chumash stuff. We did the Chidah. The only thing left to do are two things left for these Pesukim: is the Mincha Gedoyla and the Likutei Shas. Let's jump now to the Mincha Gedoyla on page 313, Pasuk Beis, Nafla. And this is the pasuk why we do not say in Ashrei the letter Nun, because this pasuk indicates the letter Nun refers to Nifila, the falling down. So Nafal Loisayisiv Kum Hamafarshim Mechavim Divrei Hazoyar. They love the words of the Zoyar. Bezeh pasuk Shabbos Shalos Soisiv Beslos. Sorry. We did Aleph Beis and Gimel. We did all the Mefarshim except for the Mincha Gedoyla, and the Likutei Shas. I just want to do these two things. So let's see over here, page 313, where it says Mincha Gedoyla, Nafla, Loisoy Sifkum, HaMefarshim, Mechabavim, Divrei Hazor. They are enamored with the words of the Zoyar, that the Pasuk does not mean that the Aseres HaShvatim will not return, just the opposite. The Aseres HaShvatim will return. All it means is they will not be able to rise up by themselves until Hashem picks them up. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pick them up. Like we're going to later on in Perek Tes, the very famous pasuk which also refers to Nefila, and there it says that Hashem is going to pick them up. Okay, so there's another pasuk, V'shafti Yeshuv Sami Yisrael, V'zeh HaNefeles, fine. V'roimeis al-bnei Yisrael b'mashama nafla. And this Nefeles refers to the Aseres HaShvat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They will not be able to stand upon their own, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to our rescue and raise us up, You know, it almost mimics to a certain degree the very controversial discussion about the Shalosh Shavuos. Okay, the Sat Meshita. What does it say? What does it say in Shir HaShirim? It says three times Pasuk, two times exactly the same, the other time is a little bit of a variation of Im to iru es ho ahava ad shetechpats. Do not arouse and awake the love that Hashem has for His Jewish people until He's ready, until He wants. So, what do those psukim mean? What exactly? No one really knows. And those psukim are divrei agoda. But there are those who want to say, I mean, if it's a little bit in line with this, is that Hashem will take the initiative. Hashem will take the initiative to arouse His love for us and to bring the ultimate geula. Now, everyone has to agree to some degree. Everyone has to acknowledge that to some degree, that's what the pasuk says. Im to'iru, the im to'oiru, es ho'ahava. Do not arouse, do not awake the love that Hashem has for us, ad shetechpats, until she is ready, until the Shechina is ready. Again, no one knows what that means exactly. I mean, this is a very hot topic. But the pasuk does indicate to a degree, cannot be in denial, that Hashem is the one who will bring the ultimate love at some point in time. Doesn't necessarily mean we can't get the process started, okay? But the Hashem is the one that's going to do it. Here again, you have that idea as well. Nafla, we have fallen. Loisoysif kum, we cannot stand up on our own. Besulas Yisrael, who will be the one that will stand us up, pick us up out of the mud? It will be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one that will do it. It's a similar idea. how they tie into it, but I think you cannot deny there's some degree of parallel. Now he goes on to a new interpretation. The Yesh Mefarshim, this also comes from the Barbanel. We're now referring to what is the subject of Lo Soysif Kum. What is the subject? Is the subject Klal Yisrael? Or is the subject the word Bisulas? So until now, at least the Zohar says, it's the subject is Klal Yisrael, that they, the nation, will not be able to stand up on their own. Hashem will need to intervene. In this second interpretation, it's not what it means. We will be able to stand up on our own. Just because we have fallen, there's nothing holding us back from getting up on our feet and returning and coming back to taking possession of Eretz Yisrael. Right, this sounds more like a religious Zionist approach. So what then does it mean the word bisulas? What does it mean, lenoflo, you can no longer stand up? The subject of Lesoisif Kum is on the word bisulas.
But that's not a noun.
Okay.
Israel is the noun and bisulas is the modifier.
Okay, so you say that it's grammatically
adjective.
Problematic.
Adjective.
It's grammatically, that never held back a darshan, grammar. Let's see what it says. Let's see how he finesses the grammar to say what he wants to say. That's the problem with drush. You could say whatever you want to say. You can shove it in. Somehow, if it doesn't fit, so force it. force it. Okay, let's see. Someone, Meicher Svarm. He Meicher Svarm, he told me a vart on Trump. A vart, he told me, you know the Tameh HaMikra. So I know I have at home, I have at home at least one sefer that darshans every all of the Trump. And I said to him, I don't like the sefer because the person who wrote the sefer has an agenda. He's going to take every single trop, mercha, tipcha, munach, esnachta, pazero, and he's going to tell you a drush. 90% of the sefer is forced. He forces things into it. So he said to me, he agreed with me 100% that these svarim, they have an agenda. Then the perushim are forced. But every once in a while, there's something there that's just delicious, that's just super, super on target. So you gotta get lucky. There's suddenly you're lucky once in 10 drushas that you're already good. But the rabbis, the rabbis always say, the rabbis, my father always used to say, you're only as good as your last drusha. you can give knockout drushas the whole year. And the week before the board votes to renew your contract, if you strike out, you're in a lot of trouble. You could have given knockout drushas the whole season. If the last drasha before the vote is no good, that's the nature.
It's like an athlete, the last game of the season, he plays very well and he gets a good contract. The rest of the year, he plays
well. Oh, that way, the last game, yeah, in Hanami. So this it's the other way around. Okay, that's a way of life. People have a very short-term memory. People do not see, unfortunately, the big picture. Let's see what he says. We have Lo Yesh Mefarshim Shlo Yosef Kum Koy Al Besulas. Now, what does that mean? Until this point in time in history, when the Jewish people were not exiled, they were called Bisulas. Why? They were innocent, naive, innocent. What could happen to us? They did not experience what it means abuse. And therefore, the term Bisulas is a metaphor for a young, naive individual, a young woman. She's you don't know how dangerous and evil the world is. Aval achar koch, afterwards, after we went into exile, afal pisha yakumu, even though they will rise once again, lo yikaru bisulas Yisrael. They will no longer be called by the term Bisulas. They've already been conquered. It does not say in the pasuk, the shorter version, you will no longer stand. The name Bisulas has disappeared. Now we're called because we're no longer a Bisula. It reminds me of what you've seen. This is a very popular topic, which is repeated by many commentators who study Jewish history, is that the First Crusade was a watershed moment in Jewish history, or really more so in Jewish history relating to Golus, that the people who were the victims of the First Crusade never saw it coming. They never imagined, the wildest imagination, that the Christians, these barbarians, would do what they did. And after the First Crusade, they were never prepared, but
no longer shocked.
They're no longer shocked, and also there was a very clear realization is that we have to do something to protect ourselves. We have to bear arms. We have to have an escape plan. It was different. The time of the First Crusade, they never imagined that there was such evil in the world. It was possible for these crusaders to come and just, for no reason whatsoever, just to torture and obliterate, genocide, to commit genocide. People just could not fathom such a thing could happen. Now, oh, why not? It happened already in the time of the Churban. We haven't seen the Churban was a thousand years ago. Time of the Crusades took up 1,000 years since the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So what happened then? We don't even have that many records. We don't even know exactly what happened. And maybe you'll argue it was different. It was a different world. It was more of a modern world. Now, even though during the last thousand years of Golus, there were pogroms. There's no question about it. They were terrible. But on a scale, like what happened in the Crusades, that never happened.
You don't live through what you don't think it can happen.
Correct. But it's even more than that. They didn't really have on record that man can be so evil. And there's no doubt about it, and that is why a lot of the Mefarshim tell us why on Tisha B'Av. There are many reasons why we devote 4 kinois to the First Crusade. We don't devote a kino, at least Nusach Ashkenaz, to the Inquisition. We don't devote, that was even worse. Some will argue it was even worse, the Inquisition. And we don't devote, it's still going on, the Inquisition. So we don't devote a kina to all of the expulsions. There were many other crusades. There were many other pogroms and tragedies. We don't devote any kinas to Tach V'Tat. Who, many people died in Tach V'Tat. Many, many more died in Tach V'Tat in 1648 in Poland through Chmielnitsky and his whole period than who died during the First Crusade. Okay, some the estimates of who died and what happened in Poland in 1648, 1649, the estimates go between 50,000 to a quarter of a million. Quarter of a million is appears to be a bit of an inflated number, but you know they don't say that kind of number when it comes to the First Crusade. The First Crusade, the numbers go between 3,000 and something like 10, maybe the most is 30,000, which is also a little bit of an inflated number, between 3 and 10,000, compared to the Chmielnitsky massacres, it goes up to between 50 to a quarter of a million. So, what's the answer? The answer was, it was a watershed moment in Jewish history, where until that point in Golus, we were begeder a besula, an innocent, naive, we didn't realize how evil man could be and how dangerous this world is and what we need to do to protect ourselves. After the First Crusade, we're no longer called Besulas Yisrael. We're called a Yisrael. See, history repeats itself. These words, this pasuk, Nafla Yisrael Kum Besulas Yisrael, if you take the parish of the Mincha Gedolah and you say that the Hussein Nevuah regarding the First Crusade, you're on the mark. It's mamish on the mark. You can read it right into the pasuk. He's telling us this is reference to the Aseres Hashvatim. Enoch and Anu was the same thing. They never imagined this could happen. And then you want to go fast forward 1,000 years later since the First Crusade, living in Germany. Who would imagine a civilized country who is sophisticated and has science, technology, and is modern? Who would ever imagine a country like Germany would go and seek to commit genocide to obliterate the entire Klal Yisrael, 6 million people? Who would ever imagined? After the Holocaust, Nochamo, we're no longer Besulas Yisrael. We know it's possible. It's very, very real to us. Just watch a few video clips And you know right away, we're no longer in a category called Besulas Yisrael. We're no longer young, dumb, and naive and innocent. It's a dangerous, violent world. We now begin the Lesosav Kum Yisrael. Okay, so this pasuk is in the Mincha Gedolah, opens up for us really a powerful, powerful insight. And this his insight is very applicable in the modern world, and how this pasuk has unfortunately repeated itself multiple times throughout Jewish history. When was probably even before this pasuk? When was the first time that you find this idea? Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. The first time Klal Yisrael experienced catastrophe was the Churban of Mishkan Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh stood for 369 years. Klal Yisrael, they came out of Mitzrayim. It was only success, success, like our president says, winning, winning, you get tired of winning. Okay, you win so much, you get tired of winning. After they came out of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Nisim and the Flois, all the miracles and the wonders, Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, in the desert for 40 years, Hashem provided man, clothing did not wear out. In the place of utter desolation, you had Anani HaKavod, it was unbelievable. You come into Eretz Yisrael, you conquer the whole land in 7 years, you divide the whole Eretz Yisrael, Lemala, Miderech HaTeva, a Mishkan was in Gilgal, and then they build a beautiful, magnificent Mikdash in Shiloh, that was equivalent to a Beis HaMikdash, for 369 years. Klal Yisrael did not know what it meant to lose. And then the Pelishtim are making trouble, so what did they do? They took the Oroin out of the very first time, they took the Oroin HaKodesh, outside the Kodesh HaKodashim, and they went to the battlefield, holding in their hands the Oroin HaKodesh, believing that the Shekhinah upon the Aron will protect them and will save them. And guess what happened? The Aron was captured by the Pelishtim. When they came back and they told to Eli HaKoyin the Aron was captured, he fell over, he fainted, and he died. His two children, whose two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, were killed. And his daughter-in-law, was in such tsar, she had a miss, she gave birth, she gave prematurely, and she died in childbirth. And Chazal tells that at that Tekufa, at that time, the Pelishtim conquered and they destroyed the Mishkan of Shiloh. And it was the people, the Klal Yisrael, they were in shock beyond belief. How in the world could this happen? Everything until now was winning, winning, winning. How can this happen? And then, late years later, when they rebuilt in Noiv and Givayin, The worst thing you can possibly say to Klal Yisrael when you gave them Musa was, if you don't behave yourself, it's going to be Shiloh all over again. That's like saying today, if you don't behave yourself, the Holocaust is going to happen all over again. Now, okay, you don't talk like that. And people, if you talk like that, you just dismiss the person. Like, you dismiss the person. But when a Navi said it, and a Navi was, his words carried weight, and people took him seriously, the worst thing a Navi can say was, you know, you can talk, give drashas the whole day. Don't do this, don't do that, Aveiro, you can be punished, this and this. It was like, you know, a nuke to say, if you don't behave, it's going to be Shiloh all over again. Because that was the ultimate shock for Klal Yisrael. That L'cha'oira was the first point where you had the fulfillment of this pasuk, according to the parish of the Mincha Gedoyla, Nafla, Klal Yisrael has experienced defeat, L'soysif kum, they'll never stand up again in a madrega of a besula. They'll know, they know what it, they know that it's possible. They've experienced it. They've experienced Shiloh. Here, things were good after that, and when's the next the major time when we apply that pasuk? It was the galus of the Aseres Hashvatim. The next time was probably the Churban Bayis Rishon. The next time was probably the Churban Bayis Sheni. And then you go into modern history, there's no question about it. The first crusade would be without question. It was another full-fledged fulfillment of who would ever imagine we would begin there in Besula that the first crusade could happen. And then, without question, the Holocaust, no one saw it coming. No one could imagine 6 million people, the world would allow 6 million, it was impossible to kill. You know what it is to kill a person? Until they had the modern technology, when they first, Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichron, they started killing Jews, what did they think? oh, we'll shoot them all. We're going to shoot them all. Take a gun, they have weapons, we'll shoot them all. They discover very quickly, you know, you can't, it doesn't work.
It's not efficient.
To go shoot 6 million people to death will take decades to round them up and to shoot them. Doesn't go like that. And then they put all of their koichos into destroying Klal Yisrael efficiently. It's shocking. I mean, you gotta read the history of what they did. When they start first, they just shoot everyone. It does not work. Like, you can't go kill some people. So then they would put them in graves, and they would line them up with their heads aligned one another, and use one bullet to go kill multiple people. I mean, what was going on is just treating human beings worse than the lowest creatures in this world. And then that wasn't efficient enough. They had to go invent new technology to go commit genocide. Did any human being think this was possible? Impossible. And now we read the pasuk with the Mincha Gedolah, Lo Yisosef Kum Bisulas. You'll never be the same anymore. You'll never be young, dumb, naive, innocent, foolish. You have a taste of how evil this world is, how evil man could be. You're not going to be a Basula anymore. This pasuk, Rachmana Litzlan, has repeated itself in history multiple times. And maybe that's also adds into what we learned from the Chazal before. We don't say in Ashrei the letter Nun, because the letter Nun hits upon this pasuk. And this pasuk, the realization that we, of how evil the world is, that we're no longer, that we can be abused and we can be subject to such intense suffering, that's a very painful experience. We don't want to focus upon that three times a day. Yes.
There are other, I guess, things in davening and in other places that are alphabetical, and they don't.
They do, right? They do not omit the letter Nun. So why is Ashrei different? He's saying very, very good. I don't know the answer. I don't know. I really don't know the answer. There is something different about Ashrei, which really needs to be understood. I don't know. Chazal say two things about Ashrei. They say, number one, it has all the letters of the Aleph Beis. And number two, it has the pasuk Poseach es yodecha umaspia l'chol chai rotzog. It seems that pasuk is not just localized to the letter Pei. It seems that pasuk Poseach es yodecha, the fact that Chazal grouped these two ideas together, the Aleph Beis together with Poseach es yodecha, the theme of Poseach es yodecha captures or expands, spreads throughout the entire Ashrei. And when you're dealing with that theme of Poseach es yodecha, the entire Ashrei, then the Aleph Beis takes on different meaning. And because of that, it's precisely here, only in this Mizmar, we cannot say the word Nafla Loisoisif Kum. That's what has to be, because Chazal group that. Why do we say Ashrei? What's so special? Two things: Aleph Beis and Poseach es Yodecha. Now all the other Mizmarim that it does, you have Aleph Eishes Chayil, and you have Mizmar Kuf Yutes, and we say the Beis Hakvaros and the names. There are other things as well. It seems that we focused on the word Poseach es yodecha, on that pasuk. Now, perhaps I'm thinking out loud now with you, and that is because there are many perushim in what Poseach es yodecha refers to. What resonates with me is the smichus of Poseach es yodecha to the next pasuk. What is the next pasuk? Tzadik Hashem b'chol derecha v'chosid b'chol ma'asav. When we say the pasuk Poseach es yodecha maspil l'chol chai rotzoi, Hashem opens up His hand. You open up your hand and you satisfy every living creature with rotzoi. Now, what does that mean? So, to a child in first grade, you tell him, whatever you daven for, Hashem will give you. It's like a wish, a genie. Hashem is you're a genie. You say, I daven to Hashem, I want candy. You're gonna get it. You daven to Hashem, you want this, whatever. Poseach es yodecha maspia. Hashem satisfies l'chol chai rotzon with whatever the living creature wants. That's what you tell someone in first grade. Then you get a little bit older, and you realize it doesn't work like that. You don't get what you want in life. There has to be a deeper meaning in this pasuk, and there are many, many deep meanings. What resonates with me is, well, what's the next pasuk? The next pasuk is a very frightening pasuk. Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav, v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. Tzidok hadin. Hashem, you are a tzadik. I suffer in this world, and there's a lot of suffering in this world, and yet I'm going to say to you, Hashem, Hashem, you're justified. Hashem, you are a tzaddik. I suffer, I have no complaints. That's a very big Baal Madrega for a person to be able to say with Kavana, Hashem, I have problems, things bother me every single day, and it's not fair. From my perspective, it's just not fair. I didn't do anything that I deserve this. Why him and not why me and not him? Why does he doesn't have this problem? Yet the person has a emunah to say tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav. That's heavy duty stuff. Where does a human being have that power, have that moral strength to say to Hashem tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav, v'chassid b'chol ma'asav? You know the answer is the pasuk right before it. Hashem gives you that ability to have emunah. Hashem, you are poseach es yodecha, you open up your hand, umaspia, and you satisfy, you satiate, you fill up the gas tank, umaspia l'chol chai, every living creature, rotzoin, to have a desire, a will, to have faith in you, to say to you, Hashem, tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav. Okay, that's a very deep shot. The Olam says that Hashem only gives you a nesoyon that you can handle. Okay, where does it come from? I think it comes from this pasuk. Try to find me a makar for that. That Hashem only gives a person a nesoyon that he's able to deal with. Really? You see, a lot of people are not able to deal with nesoyonos. They can't handle it. More often than not. But yet, this pasuk tells us, if you take these two psukim together, Hashem gives you the ratzon. If you really want, it's within you. Hashem is giving you, al derech hateva, it is impossible for a person to be able to say to Hashem, you're a tzaddik. It's impossible. It's not fair. It's just not fair why I have to suffer like this when no one else suffers like this. Why me and not them? Why then does a person have that moral power to say that the koyach, tzaddik Hashem? It's because Hashem is helping you do that. Hashem is giving you the rotzoin to be able to say tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav. Now when you take that idea and you look at every single pasuk in Ashrei with that lens, that Hashem gives man the ability to have the rotzoin to say to Hashem tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav, and every single letter of the Aleph Beis must fit into that gaze, in that backdrop, then when you come to the letter Nun and you have this very horrific pasuk that says Nafla loisoisif kum besulas Yisrael, it makes a lot of sense. Because we're dealing here, the entire Ashrei is dealing with the ability of man to overcome the nisyonos of difficulty and be able to say to Hashem, Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav. So then, every letter of the Aleph Beis, we have to understand what it represents in this context. Nun represents Nefila. We are in a matziv of Nafla, we've fallen down, Loisoisif Kum, and we're not getting up. We're not getting up. Now, what does that mean exactly? We spend the whole day on this. What it means. Okay, well, here, Mincha Gedolah means you're not going to get up in the matzah of Besula. You'll get up. You'll get up. But you're not going to be innocent anymore. You're going to know. Right. So that's the net. But that's the backup plan. That's not. The Iker is the letter Nun is still missing in its entirety as a solo. Okay? As a solo. It's that is a given. It's missing. The letter Nun is missing. We try to compensate by the next pasuk. So Mechol is this. He's asking a very good question. Why only in Ashrei? Because I'm trying to say, Ashrei, Chazal don't just look at Ashrei as the Aleph base. Chazal look at Ashrei together with the pasuk of Poseches Yodecha. What does that mean? There are many Perushim. If you take this approach, that Poseches Yodecha is connected to Tzadik Hashem B'chol Derachav, that means the entire Ashrei is looking at is one big tzidduk hadin. And every You have to analyze each pasuk in Asher, how that fits into that concept. As one big tzidik hadin, then nun, in the context of tzidik hadin, means tragedy. And what's the tragedy? Nafla loisaisif kum bisulas Yisrael. That type of tzidik hadin, unfortunately, is so heavy, we can't even do it. There's a certain tzidik hadin, you know, you can fake it, okay? Lip service. But there's a certain type of tzidik hadin that you can't, in the Chazal said, you know, David HaMelech, who wrote this, he had no choice, because, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. It's man is a limited creature. Make no mistake about it. We don't live in a perfect world. And man cannot say, with tzidik hadin, nafla loisaisif kum besulas Yisrael. It's hard for man to accept that. It's a fact. So just don't say it. The next pasuk, no, sedech shalachon noiflim. It fits, okay? So to some, if you look at it in that perspective, maybe there is an approach. Okay, let's now do the Likutei Shas, one more Chazal, and then we go on to the next pasuk. Back on page 312. Back on page 312, we have with Maimon Chazal, Nafla, Leitzaisiv Kum, Bisulas, Yisrael, Omer, Abiyachal, Mabneimah, Leinem, Nun. We mentioned this, and one of the other Mepharshim mentioned this. Just review what it says over here, we had this before. Why does it look like a the day sheesh by my plus and shall soine Yisrael the falling? Now, see, Gemara darshens it. Essentially, all of the mafarshim that we've learned do not say what it says in the Gemara. No, the most basic interpretation is always what it says in Chazal, and then you can elaborate. Then you know you elaborate. All of the mafarshim were much harsher than. Then with the pasuk, when the Chazal say it's only referring to a select group of Rishoim. You want to say the whole Klal Yisrael, the whole Aseres Hashvatim, all Rishoim? Okay, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. But here it says clear. Why doesn't it say Nun Be'Asher B'Neisha Yeshba Ma'Polos and Shel Soine Yisrael? Now, you want to say it's a euphemism for the whole cloud of Yisrael? Okay, I'll leave it to your imagination. Dechsev naflo loisaisiv kum besulas Yisrael. And that's why we don't say the letter nun. Bemarava mitard silo hachi. No, they put a positive twist on this pasuk, as we said before. Naflo loisaisiv linpol oid. Ooh. Okay, this is a beautiful perush. We've not seen this in any of the commentators. Naflo. They put the gap with the comma. We have to put a comma. Nafl, you are fallen. Loisoisif, period. Or not just a comma, period. Klal Yisrael, you have fallen. Nafla. Loisoisif, but you will fall no more. The good days are yet to come. You will no longer fall. Adraba, kum, stand up. Besulas Yisrael.
So, if it actually referred to the enemy, then why would you admit it?
Why would you? No, so it means
it's a euphemism.
The euphemism. It means the Rishohim amongst us.
Oh, okay.
So that's not happy. The Zayd is not happy I always wonder, you know, last week's parsha, Er and Oinon died. So you learn in yeshiva, yes, the average person.
You learn that in yeshiva.
What do you say? Good for them. Good for them. Right, Er, Yehuda takes for his daughter-in-law, Tamar, Er. Er says, I don't want her to get pregnant. If she gets pregnant, she'll lose her beauty, her yoifi. So I'm going to do the worst avera. I'm going to be mashkes my zera. I'm going to do whatever this is. I don't even know what it means. Whatever he did, whatever he did. Okay, and that's considered to be cardinal sin, what he did. So what happened? Oh, is it mamish, Russia, mushkes? Vayera, his pasuk says he was what's pasuk? He was evil in the eyes of Hashem, and Hashem brought about his death. And then Onan, the same thing. Also, he was a rasha. So we all say there in yeshiva, we're clapping, right? We're clapping. Good, he's a rasha, rasha, rasha. We're all kanoim, right? Good for him. Excuse me. Do you know who these people are? Aaron Onan. They're Yaakov Avinu's Einikloch.
But their mother was not Jewish.
First of all, we don't know that. And the other Shvat and their mothers were Jewish? Who were the mothers?
I think it says
the twin sisters? Rashi says that. Some say that she was the daughter of, she was the daughter, their mother, whatever it is, let's not go there, because there are too many questions about who are all the women, who do they marry. Let's assume their mother was, Aaron Oinon, their mother was, he took an Ish Adulami, Bas Ish Kenani. Who's Ish Kenani? So one interpretation is it was the daughter of Shem Ben Noach. No, that was the daughter, that was Tamar. Who was Tamar? Yehuda married Tamar. Who did Yehuda marry? It says in the Pasuk, the Ish Kenani, Bas, the daughter of an Ish Kenani.
That was his first wife.
Right, the first wife. Yehuda ended up marrying later. Peretz and Zerach was the mother was Tamar. But who was Yehuda's wife? Yehuda had a wife. He married what's called Bas Ish Kenani. Who is this Ish Kenani who took Yehuda, the son of Yaakov, as a son-in-law? So the Medrash says it was the daughter of Shem ben Noach. Noach, he was called the Ish Kenani. Why was he called the Ish Kenani? I do not know. But this is a Medrash. How do you interpret the Medrash? I don't know. It's subject to interpretation.
They say Kenani refers to a merchant.
Somebody
who was doing business.
But Shem was a Rosh Hashiva. Yaakov Avinu went and he learned in the Beis Medrash. Okay, great. Thank you very much. I got reports, multiple reports, that the Olam enjoyed your shir immensely.
Thank you.
Yashar koyach. People who were not in the shir happened just to come and pass in the shul. They heard your shir and they enjoyed your shir. Yashar koyach. Okay, so who is the Ish Kenani? Yehuda marries an Ish Kenani. Who's the Ish Kenani? So Bas, the daughter of an Ish Kenani. So who is the Shver? Who is the father of this Ish Kenani? So some say it was Shem is not a simple person. He was the big Rosh Shiva. When Rivka, Vayisroitzu Habonim Bikirva, she didn't know why they were kicking. She didn't go to her husband. She didn't go to Yitzchak. She went to Shem. Lidroish es Hashem. He is called. There's only one person.
Actually, a ramble.
It says the Pasuk. Lidroish says Rashi says Shem.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, there's only one human being. What?
That's the yeshiva of his grandson was.
Excuse me.
Don't ruin it.
Yaakov saw Shem.
It's not clear. At any event, don't confuse me with the facts.
These
two boys, Aaron Oinon, come from the Gresti Yichus, the biggest Rebbe Yichus. Okay, the father was Yehuda, and Yehuda's father was Yaakov, and the mother was Tamar, and I remember it was Bas Ish Kenani was Shem. If I'm not mistaken, there are only two people in the Torah that are called by the name of Hashem. Shem, if this is Lidroish Es Hashem, and Yaakov Avinu was called Kel, he was also called Kel. So he's not a partial person, okay? And what happened? They had a son, Aaron, going back. So what happened? Yeshiva, heirs are Russia. Who's Mashch Zera? Who even knows what that means? Whatever. The worst of the worst of the worst. And Onan, and all clapping and cheering on. Excuse me. Aaron Onan are the grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu. You think Yaakov Avinu had pleasure in that the Torah says that his grandchildren are Rishoyim, Vayas Harab Enei Hashem, Vayimiseyu Hashem? I mean, this is a tragedy beyond, you know, off the charts. Go think of Rachman, any person that has grandchildren that are not Shemit HaMitzvahs. Could you imagine how much pain they suffer? This is not fathomable. And this is Yaakov Avinu. This is a Shiftei Ka. This is probably, there were a lot of tragedies last week in last week's parasha, Mechiras Yosef, but probably on the top of the chart of the tragedies is Yaakov Avinu, the Halakha Yaakov Avinu, has two grandchildren that went off the derech. They went off the derech. And Ad Kedei Kach, the Torah says that they did Ra Be'enei Hashem. Don't make light of them. Also, oh no, they're really good. They really, you know, they're what's the expression? About love on when you love a child unconditional love. Unconditional love. There's no unconditional love here for these two people that went off the derech. Vayaz hara be'enei Hashem, vayimiseyu Hashem. There's no unconditional love here for these two people. You know what a tragedy that is? There's a tragedy that's off the charts, and no one talks about this. No one mentions this. And unfortunately, Adaraba, I grew up. I think like everyone else. Good for them. What is the attitude that when you learn this in Yeshiva Katana? Good for them. Good for them. They were Rishonim, right? They were Rishonim. They're like Hitler. They're like Stalin. They're like the Tzionim. I'm just joking. Okay, I'm going to wake you up. Right? Good for them. Good for them. They were Rishonim. You know, that's a very naive way of learning Chumash. It's a very, very naive way. Vayas hara, we're not dealing here with Goyim. We're dealing here with the Einikloch of Yaakov Avinu. We're not dealing here 50 generations since the time of Yaakov Avinu. We're dealing here, these are his grandchildren. So this is real tragedy. Okay, this is real, real tragedy. In fact, it's mamish merumas in the kinos, okay, kinoch chav beis. I did this in the summer, kinoch chav beis, we did this. It's mamish merumas there. It lists off all of the tragedies in the history of Klal Yisrael. And I am part of the Torah, but I believe that in the very beginning, there's a line there that mamish refers to this tragedy. The tragedy that unfortunately grandparents or parents have when they see children that are not observant. They're not gesundheit. They're not going to Derech Hashem. And unfortunately, there's no one talking, no one even mentions this, but it's all there. Hafoichba, hafoichba, dekulaba. And it's something which has to be understood. Here it says, Nafal Soisiv Kumbis for our first parish is what does it say over here? The Soinei Yisrael, Mimesha Yeshua. You don't say in Ashrei the letter Nun because the Tsar is so great you can't deal with it. Isn't that amazing? A whole Pasuk is omitted. Who are the Soinei Yisrael? We're not talking in the Ashrei about Hitler, Yimach Shemo. We're talking about Rachmana Litzlan Jews who have left the fold. And the Tsar is so great, you take out a whole letter of the Aleph Beis. The world was built with the letters of the Aleph Beis. We omit a whole letter because we can't deal with it now. We're mispal, halavai. What parent is not mispal every single waking moment that their children should come back? And they do. Hashem is mekabel the tefillos. But in the meantime, until everything is returned to its normal state, it's very, very painful. Now, the new parish over here is a real, real wild rush. If I would say this, you would throw me out of here. But the Baruch Hashem, the Gemara says this, Nafla, Loi Soisif. You have fallen, and it's never going to happen again. Loi Soisif, you will never fall again. And Adarab, Kum, get up. Stand up, Besulas Yisrael. It's all a question of where you put the period. Like you have the famous Chazal, Yahalol Chazar Viloi Picha. Let a stranger praise you, not yourself. Don't toot your own horn. Okay, a person should not sing his own praises. Yahalol chazar, let a stranger praise you, v'loy picha, not your own mouth. What do the darshanim say? But let's say there's no one to praise me. There's no one out there. No one, who's gonna fight for me? So then you read the pasuk. Yahalol chazar, let a stranger sing your praises. Viloy, but what happens if there's no one out there? No one is coming to my defense. No one is singing my praises. Then picha, then open up your mouth and praise yourself. Okay, it's all an hour of interpretation of where he put the comma, and it is exactly the same thing over here. So kum amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak afilu hochi chaz adav v'samcham b'ruch hakodesh shenemar soimech Hashem l'chol hanoflim. And notice here, okay, you don't emphasize this, it's b'ruach hakodesh. Why did the Gemara add that into soimech Hashem l'chol hanoflim? Just say, what would it have been if the Gemara would not add those two words? Ashrei, we leave out the letter nun. we leave out a reference to Nefila. And now we come to Samach. We want to make it up, compensate. So we'll double up. Soimech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim. What will be if the Gemara would just say, afilu ha'chi chazar David, v'samchan. David came along with v'samchan, and he picked up the people, the nun. Shenemar, soimech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim. Why did the Gemara have to say that David went and he picked them up with Ruach HaKodesh? Why did the Gemara have to add in these two words? So what is the answer? So the answer is, it's very obvious. The answer is the people, organizations that deal with Rachmana L'Islam, people that go off the derech, children at risk, or all the chol hanilvim olav, there is no solution. There is no rule book. You really don't know what to do. There is no solution. Oh, go and just learn with them, buy them ice cream, unconditional love, take them to an escape room, take them on trips. There is no solution. Every person, the people that are dealing with the situation, you need Ruach HaKodesh. You need unusual siyata d'shmaya mamish, a gift min hashamayim, Ruach HaKodesh, to be soimech those that are noifa. There are certain things in life you don't need Ruach HaKodesh. You got a problem? You go to the doctor. Well, you're the first one? You're the first one that has this problem. There are only a billion people before you that had exactly the same problem, and we have medicine, and we have a solution. Well, you need this? So there's a whole industry out there. They're waiting for you to have this problem so they can get your money in giving you the solution. And they'll customize the solution and they'll make you feel good about it. But there are certain things in life there are no solutions for. And there is no institution and there is no doctor and there's no professional, there's no rabbi that can find for you a solution. There is no rule book. You need nothing more than Ruach HaKodesh. Here, it's very fascinating, they're dealing over here with the Soinei Yisrael, which means the sinners, people who have gone off, and they need now to be brought back in the fold. Chazar David v'samchan, the Gemara is in two amazing words, which open up the whole industry in a very different light. Beruach HaKodesh. You need real, real siyata d'shmaya. Ruach HaKodesh doesn't just mean Navi. Ruach HaKodesh means you have Ruach HaKodesh today. People today have Ruach HaKodesh. Every person in this room has, at some point in time, has Ruach HaKodesh. Chazal says, every time you name a child, you name a baby, how do I know what name I should give him? Oh, because of this Zeta, that Zeta. Hashem is, you don't realize, Hashem is putting thoughts in your mind to guide you what to do. Dealing with those people that are Neuflin, you need Ruach HaKodesh. Two innocent words you can just gloss over, but really the emesis, these two words speak volumes on how to go about dealing with people, Rahman Litzlan, who find themselves in a difficult situation. Okay, let's now go to start on the next posse a little bit. Another can be a little bit late. Let's just we got a little late start here. Let's start a little Nitshal, yeah. Abandoned, yeah, what about that? Oh, you know, okay, there's also, you're right, I don't know, you're right, maybe it's all part of the letter Nun, it's all part of the Nun, it's Nafla, they've been abandoned. The Jewish people are in a massive of abandonment. No one is coming to our aid. Okay, the truth though, we have one more, I didn't even realize that, we do have another Maamar Chazal on the next page, back on page 314. Back on page 314, the reference to the number 1,000, 1,000, will be reduced to 100, and 100 will be reduced to 10. And then what does this pasuk mean? So we learn all the mafarsh, they all say exactly the same thing, and that is that it refers to those who the city has a quota to fulfill for the army. Every city, every Jewish city, has to provide a certain number of men to serve in the army. The Tzava Hagana LeYisrael. A city, based upon its size, has to provide, in this example, 1,000. In the past, they gave 1,000. Now, there are only 100 eligible men they're able to serve. and a city that in the past would give out 100, now will only be able to provide 10. So what does it say in the Chazal? We're on page 314 on the Likudei Shas. We have Yoytzeitz Elef Tasher Meir. Have Yoytzeitz Meir Tasher Asar LeBeis Yisrael. It says in the pasuk, "V'hoya misfar Bnei Yisrael kichol hayom, like the sand of the sea." V'chas, and it says, "Asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer." We have a stira. On the one hand, the Tos pasuk says that we're limited. We are limited in number. The sand of the sea, even though we may not be able to count it, it's maybe even with all the technology in the world, all the technology of the world, is it possible today to count the sand of the sea? I do not believe so. But is there a number? There is a number. We don't know what the number is, but Hashem knows. Hashem knows how many grains of sand there are in the world. But so the pasuk says, you'll be like the grains of sand. Only Hashem knows the true number. But then there's another pasuk that says that there is no number. I don't know what it means exactly, but it's something which cannot even be defined. It says, V'chos asher lo yimad v'lo yisofer. It's a mitzias where you just cannot count it. It's not even countable. You're expanding. You're continuously expanding, or maybe whatever this means. So how do we reconcile the contradiction? When they're doing the Ritzon HaMakom, Ritzon HaMakom, Heim kichol hayom asher lo yimad v'lo yisofer. Then we apply the principle, you cannot even be numbered. V'imlav, v'hoya misfar Yisrael, it will be like sand, you'll be able to measure it. You'll be able, there is a number. Now here, what does this medrash does? It is one
it's
more line.
Constant, I think maybe part of the thing growth is that the sand is, counting the sand, it constantly changes.
Oh, so
because the water is ebb tide, and you know, it goes back and forth, and that's still sand when the water comes in, so it is not even possible.
Because it's always instead of change.
Every day it keeps waxing and waning.
Oh, but we only want to wax. We don't want to wane.
No, but I mean, it cannot be changing.
Because it says that it cannot be changed with reference to sand also, right?
Correct.
It keeps on changing. So we'll be something which cannot be counted, period. Whatever that means. So the answer is, when we're oisim with sun, it's almost a bracha. That when we're doing with sun shal makayim, then we cannot be counted. But when we're not doing with ritzon shel makayim, now how do you understand this? That's not good. If we're not doing with ritzon shel makayim, we will be counted. But what do you mean? We'll be compared to the sand. The sand, the number is beyond comprehension how many grains of sand there are. So why is that? It doesn't seem to fit with a curse that we're not doing the ritzon shel makayim. Doesn't really... If you could say...
That goes in. I don't know who it is. My father always used to tell me that the difference between when it says Kiko Kveya Shemayim Laro and the sand you walk on. And when they're not doing, maybe a lot of Jews, but the rest of the world is walking all over us.
Stepping on us.
When we're doing Ritzon Shel Makom, we're like the stars in the heaven. People can't get to
can't
us.
Touch us. They can't touch us. Okay, very, very good. But I think there's a very powerful even Musa over here, and the point he concludes over here with the words are, and the medrash is that there's going to be numbers. There will be numbers. We will be able, so this pasuk over here is coming to tell us over here is that there's going to be accounting. Now there are a few things going on over here. First of all, general question: why is that called? Does that follow from Ein Oisim Ritzonei Shel Makom? We're not doing Hashem's bidding. So then we're going to be like the sand. What do you mean? The sand is infinite. It's pretty good bracha. I think the average person would be very happy to take such a bracha. To be like the sand, you'll be limited. There'll be a number. What the number is impossible to calculate for a human being, but there is a number. Why does that follow from the theme of not doing the Ratzon of Hashem? And what's the Musar Haskel? The answer is, very obvious, is if you're not growing, then even if you're a billion, trillion, whatever numbers you want, whatever vocabulary you want to use, that's called a klala. Growth, look at the economy. Growth is always viewed as, the economy is always only considered to be healthy based upon its growth rate. If the economy is not growing, that's a curse. Why is it a curse? There's so much money in the world. There's more money in this world than you can fathom. The amount of money that's in this world, you can't even begin to imagine. So if all of a sudden the government says this last quarter, there was zero growth. Does people have what to eat? Are people building houses? Are people have jobs? It's gvaldik. So let it just continue. So there's no growth. Why is it a pachad? Because that's the mitzias. The mitzias is, it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter how much you're spending. It doesn't matter. If there is no growth, that means it's going to be a korban. It's a mitzias. Growth tells you about what life is all about. The goal of life is to grow. And just like we appreciate this in the economy, there has to be growth, even though there's an infinite amount of wealth in this world. Your infinite wealth that is there will not be sustained, will not be preserved if it's not growing. Klal Yisrael may be compared to the grains of sand that are in the world, which is infinite, a number that's beyond human calculation, but it's a finite number. It's not in the geder lo yimad v'lo yisafer. I'm trying to suggest lo yimad v'lo yisafer is because there's growth. If there's always growth, every time you count, there's more. You can't count. But if let's say it stops, it's freeze. Don't move. No more growth. Let's try to count it. I can't count this number. There are no numbers in the world, in our vocabulary, that can define this. But it's finite. That's a curse. There has to be growth. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea, this is a different idea, and maybe this really is what the Medrash is coming to address, when it ties in this concept of you like sand, and if the Oimer, another pasuk, when there is shrinkage. What used to be 1,000 now is 100. What used to be 100 is now 10. Why is this Maimon Chazal coming to append our pasuk to the sand? For Hoya Mispar Bnei Yisrael Kichol Hayom the Chosuf, and to support this, Asher V'Hoy V'Imlav V'Imlav V'Hoy Mispar Bnei Yisrael. The Oimer, Ho'ir, Hayoitzetz Elef, Tashir Meo, Vayoitzetz Meo, Tashir Asol Leveis Yisrael. L'chora, it's coming to, is that if you're going to be finite, then you're going to shrink. We're coming to append to the end of this Chazal, even though the sand appears to be unlimited, if the sand does not grow, whatever that means, then ultimately, you're going to shrink. Remember, I used to read, my Rebbe always used to say,
well, because the rest of the world is continuing. In other words, if it's us, everybody else is advancing.
And it's relative.
So
relative.
Relative.
Okay, it could be, it's like a core, what's his name? Always tongue twister for me. Core, the world that the earth goes around the sun.
Copernicus.
Copernicus. Relative, even though it appears like it appears that there are things in the sky that are going backwards. Two trains, right? You go on the subway,
right.
Go on the subway. So we're both going forward, but if we're going forward slower, then, or if the train behind we're going faster than the train behind us, so it looks like they're going backwards.
Yeah.
They're not going backwards. They're going forward. We're going forward faster. So it looks like they're going backwards. So even though maybe you're growing, but relative to the rest of the world, you're going backwards. You're getting less and less. Okay, there's something, that's a very interesting idea. But there's definitely, this medrash, by adding this thing of going backwards, being reduced, is teaching us, the yisod is that there's no such thing as being in the middle, staying still. You're always either growing or you're shrinking. My Rebbe always said, there's no such thing as a parviyid. You just can't coast. Either you're growing in ruchnias or you are shrinking. You are falling in ruchnias. There's no, okay, I'll just go through the whole year. I'm at this madrega. I daven this amount of time. I learn this amount of time. And I do this and this. And we're going to coast. It doesn't work like that. If you're not going higher, by default, you're going lower. And that's really what it's saying of this Chazal. If you're not going to be in the Madrega, lo yimad v'lo yisofer, you cannot be counted, which simply means because you are expanding. It's not just going to be, you're going to be like the sin that's going to be finite. It's going to be from 100, you're going to drop down to 10. From 1,000, you're going to drop down to 100. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick up a Pasuk Dalit. Yes, Shalom Aleichem. I know we met before the shir. Before the shir started, we you brought him. You're doing. Wow.
Hello. I turned the battery over.
Okay. Thank you very much. They're very smart. I know. The battery, they play games. That was a problem with these. They use the battery even when it's off. And then you come back and the battery's dead. Right. But it's off. How could the battery be used? There's a defect in the... And it happens to me a lot.
I put in 2 new batteries.
Okay. No, this is not as money as smart.
Oh. One thing that I said, all right, I did. He said very nice that I said yesterday. That what's